It's been a big year in politics, and a gentleman that's been joining us all the way through all the highs and lows and unexpected pitfalls of that political world is Dr. Jim Jost. And Jim, you're joining us for the last time for 2017. Of course, everyone that joins us for an interview this week, you've got Randy the Christmas dog as well. So can you share the stage with a stuffed toy?
Oh, I certainly can.
Give it a go. Just like being in camp with the pollies, isn't it? To get more sense out of this dog.
Well, the dog has more intelligent things to say,
yes,
Mark.
It does. Look, the Bennelong by-election took place this past weekend. From your point of view, were you expecting a different result than what we got, or do things pretty much play out as you thought they may?
I thought it might have been a little closer, but, you know, when you look at it, it's a 5% swing, more or less, to the Labor Party. So Malcolm Turnbull has a sort of bittersweet outcome. He keeps his one-seat majority. That's the main thing as far as he's concerned. And he will be reflecting on this 5% swing, because come the next federal election, there only needs to be a 3% swing or so, and he'll lose a whole slew of seats and would lose government with a 3% swing. So,
when you've only got one to play with.
Well, 5% is not a promising outcome for him. However, it's not necessarily as good for the Labor Party, because although they picked up a few votes, they really, really went hard after this particular seat. So with all the effort they put in, they still couldn't push the swing any harder than about 5% on a two-party preferred basis.
Well, they gave it a go. They put in a high-profile candidate. Of course, former Premier of New South Wales, Christina Keneally, wasn't able to get the job done. Do you think maybe that folks who are just over the dual citizenship thing, it's like we're spending too much time, money on this. This is the guy we voted for a couple of years ago, so let's just keep things going.
Well, in part, but it's also a relatively conservative electorate, and its propensity is to stay in the hands of the Libs and the coalition. We know that, you know, it changed hands in the 2007 election, but that was more an aberration. Following 2010 election and 2013, it went back to the Libs, and it's now sort of pretty firmly there. And it's an indication that it's not so much the person who's the incumbent that was at issue here. It was more a case of supporting the party and mainly the Turnbull, perhaps the Turnbull government. Whether Mr. Turnbull himself was a factor in that, that also remains to be seen. But I think Mr. Turnbull can take only a small amount of comfort, because things are, you know, rumbling away on the horizon. He's reshuffling his cabinet that he hopes will bring him a bit more stability, and he's rewarding a few more conservatives in his coalition, which in hopefully he will think, which what he wants to happen, is that they will remain loyal to him rather than to any contenders for his leadership. But his real, I think one of his big worries is perhaps what might happen in the South Australian election on March the 17th. And there we're seeing the wild card of Nick Xenophon's SA Best Party really making inroads into the two-party race that normally operates there. We know that in South Australia that the Labor Party is on the nose almost as badly as it was here in New South Wales a few years back. The Liberal Party, however, is unable to capitalise on that and is almost as much on the nose. So the latest poll, or the most recent poll that's been done in South Australia, has SA Best sitting on 32% of the primary vote. That's a huge amount for an unknown party.
That is massive, and you would think potentially enough for them to just take government there. Now, you were saying before we came on today that we could even see the very unorthodox move of Labor and Liberal parties forming a coalition, which is somewhat of an unholy alliance, but that is that's one possibility.
Well, when you think about the permutations, if we just take these three parties into account in the lower house in South Australia, Nick Xenophon's party is only going to contest about 20 seats at this stage. He's interested in the balance of power rather than becoming Premier or forming a government. He's also announced that he's not really interested in entering into a coalition. In fact, he's ruled that out at this stage. So that then leaves the possibilities of an outright majority for the Labor Party, unlikely, an outright majority for the Liberal Party, again, unlikely. It then leaves the situation where Labor and Liberal might decide that they can form a coalition government, a sort of government of convenience, if you like, in order to keep SA Best from having an influence. And finally, the other alternative is that Nick Xenophon plays power broker and agrees to allow one of the major parties to form government with the support of his party, but not his party being inside the government.
I tell you what, Jim, it's something that's going to give us something to talk about in the second quarter of next year.
It will certainly give Mr Turnbull something to think about, because if South Australia moves in that direction with SA Best holding the balance of power, it makes it really tricky for the at the federal level when there's a half-Senate election to be considered as well.
We give them stick from time to time. We wouldn't want their jobs and all the pressure that goes with that. And Jim, thank you for sharing all of that with us in 2017. You'll be back in February to do it all again.
Yeah, my pleasure, Mark. And have a Merry Christmas.
You too, and maybe the Christmas dog can spend a couple of days at your house.
Certainly will have some good advice for me, I'm sure.
All right. That's Jim Jost in the World of Politics. He will be back in 2018 right here with us on 2NURFM.